Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, we just got to pray and ask God. He's coming for a people that are prayed up and they're dependent upon him. You know, a lot of times we become dependent on so many other things, our spouses, our significant others, our home, our job. Hallelujah. We become dependent on those things. But God is calling for people that are dependent upon him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are dependent on only what he can do. Because, you know, sometimes you get in a position that only you know. Only God can get you out of that. And he wants us to be there, people, saints of God. Facebook, hallelujah. So y'all, as my grandma used to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Hallelujah. Because God might be calling us home. Hallelujah. So get ready. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you want to see him? Hallelujah. Don't you want to see him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the name of God. So as our pastor gets ready to come forth to give us a word to bless our souls, hallelujah, just get into your meditation and begin to just praise and worship the Lord. Come on, everyone, with me. Just begin to praise. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Receive your word today. We receive your word. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just saturate this place right now. Hallelujah. Saturate your home as you begin to listen to the word. Saturate your mind, hallelujah, with holiness so that you can consume and feel and get something out of the word. Hallelujah. Let it transform you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As our pastor comes forth, Russell T. Perkins, hallelujah, to bless us and give us a word. Open your hearts this morning. Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord. If you will stand, the scripture is not on your sheets. Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We trust that God will bless the reading of his word. Father, in the name of Jesus, sanctify this word in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. And the topic is, this is not the time to look back. This is not the time to look back. Jesus is like back in the day. Some of y'all too young to know this, but back in the day, back when I was a young teenager, they had what they called the draft. That meant that they could draft you into the armed services. You didn't have to sign up. They would sign you up. In fact, every young man in my age group, when they turned 18, they were supposed to go down to the post office and register for the draft. my mom told me to go register for the draft. I didn't want to go, but I did because my mom told me to do it. As it turned out, I didn't get drafted. I didn't go overseas. But I know a lot of my friends who had big brothers who went over, some of them didn't come back. Jesus is like your local draft board. He's trying to draft you into this army of the Lord. And once you get drafted, you can't go back to the military people and say, well, I got to do this and I got to do that. Hallelujah. Because they wise enough, they've heard every excuse under the board. And here, Jesus seems like he's being harsh. Hallelujah. And one man, the first man, was apparently a preacher because he said, go preach. And the man said, allow me, suffer me to go bury my father first. Well, Jesus could see through this and saw it for what it really was, although it sounds honorable. It's an honorable thing for us to tend to the last affairs of our parents. It's an honorable thing, as the second person was. We're from Luke, the 9th chapter, 57 through 62. To use hospitality and bid goodbye to house guests, which was what the second was. And Jesus says, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but I don't have any place to lay my head. Hallelujah. Follow me. Follow me. And then he said in verse 62, where I get my topic about, this is not the time to look back. He says, any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit. Now, that's a strong word for the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean that God is not a God of grace, that Jesus doesn't give grace, that the whole act of going to the cross to die for us was a substitutionary act of grace. Hallelujah, that the penalty of sin that we were supposed to pay, why? We were sinners and he never sinned, right? That was grace, praise the Lord. But at some point we have to respond to the draft letter, right? Hallelujah. At some point we have to step forward and say, I'm not going to look back. Hallelujah. I've been drafted into the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier of the cross. There was blood shed for me. There's a price paid for me. A terrible, a scandalous price of a man who not only had not committed a crime, but who had not committed a sin, and he's crucified on the side of a public road, stripped completely naked of his clothes, and then tortured all night before they crucified him. And then on the cross, they trying to mess with him. Aggravate him. He said, I thirst. They didn't give him any water, gall and vinegar. No refreshment on the cross. And gall and vinegar also has an anesthetic effect, and he didn't want that. He came to suffer and die for you and me. Hallelujah. And in the times, the perilous times we live in. In the time, hallelujah, where spiritual warfare is raging in the land. In a time, praise God, where a grown man don't think nothing of snatching a child off the street, boy or girl, to hurt them, to kill them, or whatever. In a time, praise the Lord, hallelujah, when there's no respect in the public discourse, hallelujah, where people major in calling each other names, in a time when somebody's trying to find out if there's a real church in the land in these days. They're trying to find out if God's church, hallelujah, is really real.
whether we stand for what we say we stand for, or whether we're just looking back like everybody else. All in love with Egypt, in love with slavery. And when you, hallelujah, are walking in sin, you're a slave to whatever that sin is. And we need to be set free and delivered and brought whole and made clean, hallelujah, by the power of God, hallelujah. These hands can't be clean if I just wash them and put disinfectant on them. They have to be washed in what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. We have to be blood washed, and then we have to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. Hallelujah. And the last thing the Lord wants to hear after paying such a horrific price for us is an excuse. And I'm just a guy. Somebody give me an excuse, I might fall for it. I might fall for it 9 times out of 10. Hallelujah. But we serve a God, hallelujah, that even if you're saying something that sounds good, like, please let me go bury my daddy. Or please let me go and bid my house guests goodbye. We serve a God who can see through that and see the thoughts and intents of our hearts and motivation, and see that the words sound good, but behind those words, there's an excuse. There's a desire to turn back. There's a desire to not stand up. There's a desire, hallelujah, and this is what we deal with, the human people, us. We're simple. We want what we want, right? If we had something cooking back every kind of good and was smelling, I couldn't hardly get a word into y'all's ears, could I? If it was your favorite dish, if it was smelling like your favorite barbecue or whatever, I wouldn't hardly be able to get a word through to y'all, right? That's just human. We want what we want. We're simple. And we're endlessly complicated. We're simple in that we want what we want, right? We're endlessly complicated in what? We want what we want. Even if we say, let me go bury my dad. We're so complicated that we say one thing, but there's something else underneath it. And we can play each other. Y'all can trick me. Some of y'all in here may have tricked me already. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is God can't be played like that. And he knows all about us. And it's, you know, the good news is there's a remedy. Come clean. Show up, hallelujah, at the draft office. Show up at the prayer closet. Show up at the throne of grace and say, Lord, here I am. Hallelujah. It's not my will, but your will. Hallelujah. And help me, Lord. And excuses. Hallelujah. I've said before, I hope y'all don't think light of my profession. It is an honorable profession. Probably 85% or more of the lawyers I've ever met are honorable, and you can't get them to lie, right? But it's the ones that, you know, they get all the news, right? Because look, suppose we have 1,000 cars come down Jefferson Street within a certain period of time. The one that runs all up on the sidewalk and runs into somebody's house, that's the one that makes the news, right? Hallelujah. And so it is with lawyers and with anybody. And lawyers are trained to make excuses, right? They catch your client on videotape doing something they're not supposed to do. And the lawyer can say, well, was the camera properly calibrated? Is that a knife or is that a spoon in his head? Because they're not trying to get the truth out. They're trying to get you to look for reasonable doubt. And if they can get you to look for reasonable doubt, you can stab up a bunch of people in our legal system and walk out of the courtroom laughing, going to buy steak dinner. But we serve a God who sees all that. And then I'm being a little silly in the legal example, but what I'm saying is that God sees how we are. And the beautiful part is, knowing how we are, Jesus went to the cross anyway. There's some people we'll go out of our way for, right? They're in need. We'll move heaven and earth to help them to not get their house repossessed or foreclosed is the right term, or to help them out of a tough situation, make sure they got food on their table. And some people, we might not do the same. Why? Because we've caught them in some lies before, or they don't have a reputation for telling the truth, or they're not trying to do right, and they'll take your money and spend it on something you didn't intend for them to spend it on. Hallelujah. But Christ commended his love for us, that he died for the ungodly, the unworthy, the worst of the worst, the bad cases, the bad risk, the bad credit risk, the one, hallelujah, praise God, everybody. He didn't make a respecter of persons. He died for everybody that would accept him. Hallelujah. Everybody that would repent and take him in his name and be filled with his spirit. Hallelujah. It was an open invitation. He didn't say just for the Gentiles, just for the Jews, just for those who speak English, just for those who speak German. It wasn't like that. Hallelujah. And that is love that we don't even understand. Praise the Lord. And yet in the midst of that, there are those who have accepted Jesus, those who have been blood washed, who are looking for excuses for what? To do what they want to do. This is an expression in the world today. I'm using an expression that me and one of the brothers in this room heard a friend of ours make last week. I'm not talking about that friend. I'm talking about the issue. Hallelujah. And he said something about a life partner. Hallelujah. In other words, no intention to get married, spoke of a life partner. And I bit my tongue because sometimes saying something that is true is out of place and it won't help. And you have to be led of the Lord. I was wanting to say, where is that in this Bible? Point it to me. I've been studying it for 45 years. I haven't seen it yet. Show it to me. Hallelujah. It's not the time for us to start looking back. We got to stand for something. Saints, brothers and sisters, anybody who would walk into this church, anybody who would tune in on Facebook can keep doing what they're doing. I don't have a van that I'm gonna look up everybody on Facebook, and I'm gonna take my van, and I'm gonna get some of the brothers, and we're gonna grab them and bring them to Bread of Heaven Church, and we're gonna wrestle them to the ground, and we're gonna baptize them. People have the freedom to choose to be stupid. People have the freedom to do what they want to do. But what gets me is when they try to use this church as a crutch and keep doing all what they're doing, standing up in the church singing, hallelujah, bless you, God bless you. And they know as soon as they get the opportunity, what they're going to do? They're going to look back and go back and do what they want to do any kind of way. And then what? Some percentage of, I don't know, 20, whatever, will say, blame it on the preacher. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Or blame it on somebody. The usher was mean. We got a sweet usher, praise God. I didn't like, here's my favorite, I didn't like the singing. What do you mean you didn't like the singing? When we come to church to sing, we're not trying to put on a concert. Now, it'd be good if we had like Donnie McClurkin and all them in the choir. I'd be the first one to greet them. Hallelujah. But we got what we got, right? And we're not praising them with our lips anyway. It's from our hearts, praise God. Now, we want to sing skillfully and pray skillfully. We want to do things decency in order. We want to rehearse all of that. Yeah? Yeah, that's true. Hallelujah. But to use the excuse about this, and that, because you just don't want to change. You don't want to stop drinking. You don't want to stop lying. You don't want to stop shacking. Now, that gets my goat a little bit. Hallelujah. Why don't you just face it? And said, hey, I heard you, preacher, but I got some reefer out in the car, and that's what I want to do. That's what I put above everything else. Hallelujah. But Pope won't too many people say that because they know how crazy it sounds. I want my gin and tonic over God. I haven't heard too many people say stuff like that. The scripture says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But people in my age group won't hardly say there is no God. I don't know what the younger folks are saying. Hallelujah. But your behavior, it says in your heart, you said it in your heart, in your behavior, in your lifestyle. Hallelujah. In the things that you won't give up, in the things that you won't ask for forgiveness for, the stuff that you won't repent of, the stuff you won't tell the truth about. Hallelujah. And usually, in a church setting, what I found out, and I said usually, right? Hallelujah. I'm not trying to say gospel. I'm not trying to say 100%. The people who have the most criticism are the one, and I'm going to make up a word, who are living the wrongest. Why? They won't cover so they can do what they want to do and what? Make an excuse. This is not the time to look back. Hallelujah. Even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, even if you disagree with the scripture I read, let's be honest before a holy God who knew you when you were in your mama's womb. Before you could talk, your mind is trying to form words. He knew what was in your mind. Hallelujah. That God who's spun everything into existence, who spoke things into existence, and there were really no sound waves to carry his voice, but because his power, hallelujah, because he filled all space, hallelujah, there didn't need to be any sound waves, hallelujah, because he spoke and it reverberated and everything was created, hallelujah, just because he said, let there be. That God wrapped himself in flesh, that God who is holy. Hallelujah. And we are not. The good news is we don't have to be holy in our own strength, but we have to yield under his mighty hand and let him exalt us. Let him clean us up. Let him, hallelujah, put our feet on a rock to stay. Hallelujah. The good news is God is holy, and he will equip you to walk with him. He will allow you to have fellowship with him, and he will forgive that stuff. He will forgive that stuff you said, that stuff you did, the places you went, the lies you told, hallelujah, and the stuff you said about your brothers and sisters in Christ because you wanted to keep doing what you were doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here's the kicker. Here's what I call a paradox. God's ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high above his thoughts are. His standards are so high, yet he can be pleased. People's standards are, and they cannot be pleased. So why not deal with the one who can be pleased? Without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God. What's the negative implication of that? With faith, it is possible to please a God whose standards is high above the heavens. What's it called? It's called faith. Our faith, his grace. I go through the drive-thru window, drive-thru, whatever they call it at the bank. Maybe I have a check and a deposit slip. Hallelujah. And they got this thing you put it in. It's like, you know, a chute. And I put it in there. And I push the button. That's faith. And if they deposit it, my account is grace. God knows how to produce something from our faith. He knows how to take our faith and turn it into some healing. He knows how to take our faith and turn it into some deliverance. He knows how to take our faith and send blessings that we could never, ever, ever, ever earn. If we, everybody in here, lived 1,000 years, we could not earn the blessing of one day with Jesus. But our faith produces enough grace. Our faith produces, the wrong word, triggers enough grace so that we can live forever with him. In peace. We can glorify him with the same lips that used to do some ungodly things. We can praise him with the same hands that used to fight, used to chase after other people's money. God can do a work for us. 2 Corinthians. Get ready to sit down. This is not the time to look back. Just take my word. The enemy is busy. The word of God says perilous times will come. Hallelujah. Perilous times are here. Praise the Lord. And then it talks about in that same chapter of either 1st or 2nd Peter, I'm sorry, I hadn't planned to go there. It talks about men and women similar, it goes right along with that scripture I read in the ninth chapter, at the end of the ninth chapter of the book of Luke, it says, men have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. In other words, the way they live is denying that God can help them get off the bottle, get off the pipe, get off the fornication, whatever. Hallelujah. Get off the life partner lie. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, the Bible says fornication, fornicators, and liars. It says this. I don't even like to go to these scriptures. I want to tell y'all good stuff. I want to talk about grace. Hallelujah. But the Bible says in the book of Revelation that fornicators and liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Praise God. And as a preacher, I got to say something about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I want God, hallelujah, to be pleased with my testimony. Praise the Lord. Now, that form of godliness, that box we put God in, that box of godliness, hallelujah. The Lord's saying, I'm coming out of the box. It's not time. It's the wrong time to start thinking we can look back. Hallelujah. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? If we can't be living epistles learned and read of men, what about the people who will never read their Bible, hallelujah, unless they read something in us that's worthy of taking a look? Hallelujah. The good news is these men who looked back and gave Jesus excuses had the opportunity that same day to get on their knees, fall before a holy God that same day and say, Lord, will you forgive me? Lord, will you help me? I said that about my buried my father, and it was an excuse. Hallelujah. I said that about bidding my house guests goodbye, but it was an excuse, Lord. And here I am. That same day they could have been forgiven. That same day we can be forgiven. And whatever it is, whatever it is, God's grace is bigger than your mess. God's grace is bigger than your sin. God's love is bigger, hallelujah, than where you've been. God's love is bigger than the dysfunction that you grew up in. God's bigger than your criminal record. God's bigger than your messed up credit. God's bigger than the lies you told. God's bigger than the four or five relationships, divorces, whatever you've been in. And all God's people said, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing, hallelujah, on the message, on the hearers. And Lord, you just have your way. We commit it to you in Jesus' name.